75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Hello, welcome to another UFO show. I'm Jerry Pippin. Always good to have you listening. This hour, we have an incredible story. A lady by the name of Arizona Wilder is going to be on. And some of the things that she's going to say are going to seem very, very far-fetched. But she seems to believe them. And who knows, they could be true. Or at least something very similar to what she's saying. Because much of what she is relating came to her through analysts and psychiatric help over the years. Her story evolves around extraterrestrials, rituals, and also an incredible story about being at Area 51 and being held against her will there at the pleasure of the extraterrestrials. So stay tuned. I think at the very least you'll find it very, very interesting. Now, as far as some of the things that we want to talk about when we come to Area 51, in 1989, when I was at KBEG in Las Vegas, Bob Lazar went on television locally there in Las Vegas on a show hosted by George Knapp on Channel 8, KLAS-TV, and he discussed in great detail his work on back engineering of a spacecraft. Supposedly it happened at Pappoose Lake, which is just south of Area 51. Since then, Area 51 has been popular as a symbol of the alleged U.S. government UFO conspiracy cover-up. Area 51 definitely is part of the legends of the United States and the UFO cover-up. It's very interesting, however, if you stop and think about it. Many thousands of people have gone up to Area 51 now that Nevada has opened up that highway, 375, and officially dubbed it the Extraterrestrial Highway. Lots of people go up to Rachel, Nevada, the town nearest Area 51, and many people see many interesting things, things that are very strange, like this, flying triangle, and they seem to be, going at will around Area 51, which is definitely a secured airspace, and no one seems to be bothering them. Many of the reports we have across the nation and around the world each week on the UFO files seem to be duplicated right there at Area 51, and nobody from the Air Force or the government seems to mind. However, you let a regular airplane fly over that space, they are surrounded immediately by F-16s. And if you ever try to drive into there, forget it. You'd be surrounded by stormtroopers very, very fast. Area 51 is known by a lot of names, including The Ranch, Watertown, Dreamland, and simply as the test site. It actually probably got its first name, the Paradise Ranch, sometime back when Kelly Johnson arrived there in 1955 to test for Lockheed, the U-2 spy plane. And the entire crew there, the test crew, really called it the ranch. Another name given about that time was the Watertown Strip, named after Watertown, New York. That's where Alan Dulles, who was CIA director at the time, was born. So there's lots of interesting history around Area 51. Area 51 has become the thing of legends now, thanks to Hollywood and novels and books and radio shows like this one. Interestingly enough, though, Area 51 as a designation was dropped in the 1970s, but we still refer to it as Area 51 even today. Next up, we'll be talking to a lady who's going to add to those theories and those stories. Her name is Arizona Wilder. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jerry.
It's good to have you here. I guess the best thing to do is you got involved in something and you didn't know you were involved in it. I guess that's the best way to really set it up, right?
Yeah, that's about right. I thought I had a boring, normal life, but there were just pieces missing, but I took it for granted because I thought everyone had that.
So you were a victim early on of some emotional stress, sexual abuse and things inside the family, and you were getting help. Is that right? psychiatrist or something?
Yeah, I went into therapy to deal with what I thought was simply sexual abuse issues within my family. And it turned out that that was just the tip of the iceberg, and it was far more than that.
And, well, let's kind of get into the story and how it develops. You've had an incredible experience, and it involves the government, and we'll find out a little bit about where you are today and where you were. When did it start, back 89 or something like that?
Well, I started going and doing my recovery work in 1989, but the memories that I retrieved started when I was 3 years old. So,
and the memories that you were talking about retrieving, they were of abuse, correct?
They were of abuse, but there are also other memories that have to do with government mind control and being used in the psychic experimentation and psychic training.
Well, now the 3 years old is awfully young to begin to, so it must have been in your family. Your family must have been involved in this. Or why you is basically why I'm asking. Or do you know yet?
Well, I have some thoughts on it. I don't believe that other members of my family were actually actively used. I believe there's some programming that went on with them, but as to exactly how much or how it was done or when, I'm not sure.
Well, let's get into the story so the audience can understand and follow this, because on one hand, it's very complicated, and on the other hand, it's simple. You've been a victim of some people trying to, I guess, for lack of a better term, if I understand all this correctly, control you emotionally and psychologically.
Yes, that's been about what my life was about. So.
And how? So you went to regular therapy. And you went to a series of therapists, I take it?
Well, I went to some therapists that dealt with child sexual abuse in the family, and then I went into therapy with therapists that dealt specifically with government mind control survivors.
And how did you end up there? What was your first clue, in other words, that there may be more to this than just a psychological problem?
I started having memories about aliens, and that was very soon after. It was about the same time that I started having memories about ritual abuse, and I realized that they were two different things, and I couldn't figure out what one had to do with the other.
Now, the memory that you'd recall these things, would it be in dreams, or you'd just be sitting around and it'd come to you? How did that work? Or was it under hypnosis?
No, I've never had hypnosis done. It was flashbacks that I had, and it was reliving the experiences, and they were so real and so frightening that one of the most frightening things that I had was not being able to breathe. I'd stop breathing, and I'd start choking. And this would happen when I was asleep at night, and this also happened when I was awake and started to talk about specific things.
In other words, the emotional impact was so much it impacted you physically.
I don't believe it was emotional. I believe it was programming.
You believe that this was to keep you quiet?
Yes.
Let's talk first about the, I want to get to the ritual part because it's scary as hell. But before we do that, I want to talk about the extraterrestrial or the ET dreams, the memories.
Okay, what I've had, what I know about myself at this point is that I was involved in Area 51, and I also had feedback.
When you say involved in Area 51, you mean you worked up there or something, or what?
There's a specific program that was running at Area 51 that has to do with psychically gifted or oriented individuals being used to communicate with ETs. And that's what I was involved in.
So this would be carrying the step maybe a little bit further of remote viewing in that concept.
I don't think it's the same thing as remote viewing. I also happen to know that I had been involved with a specific program that it didn't have to do with that, but it has to do with psychics, and it involves an intelligence group that not very many people know about, and it's called Janus, J-A-N-U-S.
And this is a United States organization or what?
From what I understand, it's headed by William F. Buckley, Jr., and the headquarters in NATO Allied Headquarters Building in Brussels, Belgium.
So it would probably be a hyper-conservative organization.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to find politically where they're coming from, New World Order type ideas. Is that what this is all about?
Well, that is what I would think that Buckley is involved with. Janus has another face to it, which is called Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S, and those are military-trained assassins.
Let's back up a little bit and get into the why you're so positive about these statements, and you have reason to be positive with your background here. You were going to one particular therapist who recognized immediately that there was more to this than just a psychological problem, and she had a brother that was in the Air Force. Is that correct?
My daughter was seeing this therapist. She had, prior to that, seen a psychiatrist who was internationally recognized in working with multiple personality disorder and ritual abuse and government mind control, and he was doing a study. That's how I first came to see him. I participated in a study that he was conducting along with Colin Ross, and they were looking for programming in government mind control survivors that had multiple personality disorder. And this man wanted to start seeing my daughter, and I wanted him to start seeing her because he was very knowledgeable. And for that, I had to stop being in the study because I was involved at the time with a court case because they were going to take custody or legal custody of my daughter away because I wouldn't give up on the fact that I knew that she was being involved in ritual abuse. And my ex was dead set against me ever looking into it.
When do you think he was dead set against? He knew about it or not?
I think he was programmed, and I think he was scared. So I think that this whole thing scared him to death, and my whole family was scared by me because I was upsetting the balance of things, that the way everything operated for so many years.
We're talking with Arizona Wilder. We're talking about an horrific experience, and it's a story that'll keep the hair on the back of your neck raised, and Arizona lived through it. And we will get to the ritual experience in a moment, but I really want to follow up the Area 51 angle here. You don't remember working there, so was this supposed to be a time that you were blacked out or what? I mean, how come you were at Area 51 and you don't remember anything about it? So these vans and naval intelligence and intelligence community, they were following you openly?
Openly a number of times. It wasn't like it was something that happened all the time, every day. It happened at certain times when I was in therapy and discovering the most information is when this would happen. At other times, I would have missing time, and I would have needle marks on my body, like on the back of my hand. A lot of times, like an IV had been run, in my in a vein in my hand or in my arm. And once I tested positive for cocaine, and I have never done anything like that, I have no interest in it. And I also had the therapist that I saw had called and had a detective out to for me to file a police report because I had been rather beaten.
You mean you had bruise marks on you?
Yes. And that was hard. That was really hard for me. I was not believed by the detective involved. He didn't believe any of it. And so the report was filed, but it didn't go anywhere.
Let's talk a little bit about the rituals in Malmut, but before we do that, you said as a child you probably went to Russia. What were you doing there?
There was a program there where they were training. It was they started with children, and I was sent there, as far as I can figure out, around the age of 5 to be trained as a psychic. I think they were more developed in their program than they were in this country. And I know that at some point I was being followed up out of UCLA, out of the parapsychology unit there. But the program training in Russia included me being drowned, so to speak, in ice water, or my heart stopped in ice water, and then me being given a set of instructions and told to astrally go into another room and put a mark on a piece of paper with a pencil, and there was a KGB officer in uniform sitting there to observe what was going on as a witness. And I know that I wasn't successful the first time that happened, so there were repeated attempts at stopping my heart by putting me in ice water. And I know that because of that training, I was involved at Area 51. I'm not trying to jump from one to the other, but the point I want to make is I was approached when I spoke at Global Sciences back in, I think it was 2000, by somebody who was a contractor with the CIA. And he was... he saw the mark on my arm where I had burned off the ID that I had carried. And he said, "Oh, I see you burned off your Area 51 ID. And I just looked at him shocked because I'd only ever told 2 people at the time about it. And I'd never heard anyone else talk about it, so I thought that I was crazy. And that, and he saw the marks and he said, "Oh, you burned it off." And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Oh, that means you had this kind of training." And he named off exactly what I just talked about in detail. And then he said, "So you're involved with the program they've got going over at Area 51 with the ETs." And he knew about it.
And did you physically go to Area 51?
Yes, I physically went there.
And you stayed on the base itself, or did you drive in from someplace? Or I'm trying to figure out how this works.
No, it's connected. It's connected underground to China Lake Naval Weapons, which is where a lot of my programming took place with Dr. Joseph Mengele. So.
Well, that name's a pretty scary one by itself.
Yes, he was out at China Lake Naval Weapons. I mean, there were some other places.
So you literally saw him?
Yeah, I literally saw him.
So he was there. What about the ET project? Can you tell us anything about it?
At this point, the only thing that I would really want to say about it is that there are some ET lookalikes that they have developed there that look like the Greys, but they don't look like the Greys.
You think they're hybrids or what?
They're something that's been developed there, and they're called Cybers, P-S-I-B-E-R-S, and they're very controllable, and that some people that have the experience of thinking that they've been abducted by grays are actually abducted by the government, and these things are placed within their view and appear to be doing, you know, what the people have described to them. The government is very afraid of a certain group of grays that are psychic. Those grays saw people such as myself. They realized that we had this system from programming within us. I'm talking about all of the other people besides myself that the government had put there, and they realized that they could storehouse information or files in much the same way, so they did.
You mean with you?
With me, with others. And I have no way...
Do you have any way to recall any of that information?
I have no way to even understand it. And I don't know how to reach it, but I know that it's there.
So you've actually had contact with ETs?
Yes.
And pretty much the stories we get, are they pretty much the story of mental telepathy rather than talking, et cetera, et cetera?
That is how they communicate. Yeah, that's how they communicate. There are other species there, though, besides the grays, and that's always, I don't hear that talked about much.
Did you see the other species?
I saw some of them. There was one type that is, I call them beige people or brown people that have very wrinkled skin, and I thought that their eyes look like they're blue, but they have the webbing between their fingers.
Now, when we talk about the ETs and the grays and these other species, they sound scary enough, but really it sounds like most of the harm that's been done to you has been by human beings here on this earth.
I think that in my case that's more of the problem. It's not ETs for me, at least in my case, because I was used around them, but I saw that the government doesn't trust the ETs, and I saw that the ETs don't trust the government anyway, so I felt like I was caught in the middle.
Well, what kind of agreement do these people have with the ETs and vice versa? I mean, why are they working with each other if they don't trust each other?
I think all I know is that on the side of the government, that is that they want information about and whatever it is that the ETs have been involved with. As far as what the ETs want, I have no way of knowing.
Let's get back to you mentioned that you were a watered-down bloodline, and so you weren't at the top echelon like some of the people in government today. And you might want to name some of those people. Who are we talking about? The Kissingers and Bushes and people like that, or who?
The usual suspects. That's just it. The usual.
So you said you were a slave to these people. What do you mean by that? They were using you for experiments, or worse than that?
I was used at a very high ritual level because... the group that I'm talking about are not all what people refer to as human. So they have shape-shifting abilities, and that is what they are.
Now, when you talk about these rituals, explain to me what happens here.
At the rituals, what I was used for, I was basically being used for channel to bring down entities from... lower fourth dimensional level to this plane, this third dimensional plane, and then have them there for ritual for the kind of power that they had and energies and knowledge that they had or directives that they had, and then sending them back up, banishing them back up to that lower fourth again.
I mean, what would be the message that you could bring our listeners? I mean, these people, I mean, you're talking about what I guess we would refer to as, if not satanic rituals, pretty close to it.
I don't like the word satanic, because satanic is not old, and this is something that's very old. It predates the Christian concept of Satanism by thousands of years. This is much older than that.
What do you think the future holds for us? Doesn't sound good.
I think that we've been through this before, and I think that this is happening to see yet if we have learned as a race, that is, humans have learned as a race not to be stepped on and take this anymore. So everything's up in the air at this point. Will people wake up and realize what's really going on here or not?
We've just scratched the surface tonight, but we'll have to have you back and find out more details about this. And you have some interesting things coming up we'll talk about here in a moment that people can stay in contact with you. You're not afraid at this point that you may be talking too much in the public?
No. I think that, I've already dealt, I've had years to deal with that they took the most precious things from me. And for many years, I was so angry that I didn't care if what they did to me. And that was part of the problem, was that they kept trying to get me back in line. And I didn't care, because it was, how could you hurt me any more than you already have? You can't. So I think that now, what's important to me is that I want to be able to do what it is that the cosmos would have me do.
And what do you think that is?
If it is to speak about it and write about it, then that's what I'm going to do.
Thank you very much, Arizona. We'll be talking to you again, and we'll keep people updated on how things are going with you.
Arizona Wilder. What a story. This is Jerry Pippen. You're listening to the UFO Files. Up next, after this commercial break, we'll be talking to Heidi Hollis on the phone. She's in Milwaukee. We're in Laughlin. Where are you?
Hi, Bars Dick.
Oh, hi, Dick.
Okay, I talked to every advertiser in America and the U.S. territories.
Good.
Even Micronesia and the state of Yap.
Good, Yap.
Everyone's ready to start advertising again.
Great.
They now realize that consumers are ready to spend. I'm talking every single advertiser.
Yeah, except Debbie.
I thought you told me Debbie was in.
No, this is a different Debbie.
What's this Debbie's problem?
Well, she said the agency's new creative doesn't speak to her.
What's the product?
Dog food.
Does she have a dog?
No.
Does she eat dog food?
No.
Then she's not the consumer.
No, but she's really ticked off of their spokes dog.
Oh, prima donna, huh?
Prima dog. This dog wants his own trailer, masseuse, use of the company jet.
Company jet?
Wait a minute. I know how we can get Debbie on board, Dick.
How about
get rid of the dog and get a new spokes creature.
I
played a chicken once. You played a chicken once. He played a chicken once.
It's called advertising, and it works. Your competitors know this. Why don't you? This message brought to you by this station, Adweek Magazine, the Radio Advertising Bureau, and the famous Radio Ranch.
This is Jerry Pippen. You're listening to the UFO Files. We're in Laughlin, Nevada, but on the phone right now from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we have the lovely Heidi Hollis. Heidi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself, Jerry?
Yeah, hanging in here pretty well.
Cool.
How's the book doing?
Oh, it's doing pretty good.
Yeah, why don't you tell the people the exact title of that book again? before we do anything else, and I got news of a friend of yours that's listening. I just got an email from.
Oh, okay. Well, it's called The Secret War, The Heavens Speak of the Battles, the subtitle. And it's based on the conflict that's going on between positive and negative alien beings.
And it's available, of course, at several places. We have a link to it. And how are you doing? Do you have a website, too? You do, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's at UFO, the number 2, and the letter U.com.
Yeah, I don't know how I could forget that. We'll get into that a little bit more here in a little bit. First of all, we had an email here, Heidi, before we get into the show. Barbara Zamora is listening in California.
Oh, yeah, I know her.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Yeah.
And so so that's good. In fact, we have people listening around the world. You've been pretty busy. I heard a report that you might have been up at Dundee,
Wisconsin.
Yeah, right, there for the big UFO party and lookout that you had.
Oh, yeah. We had a very interesting sighting going on there.
Yeah.
Actually hit the main waves, USA Today and everything, so a lot of people picked up on the story. Pretty massive sighting, about 8 unidentified flying objects came overhead, put on a little show for UFO Days at Bill Benson's hideaway in Dundee, Wisconsin. So pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. And then I think you've been doing some other things, too. Did you go down to Texas last weekend or something?
I was aiming to, but actually that conference got canceled, so.
Okay. What's the latest in your UFO investigations? I'm going to follow up a little bit more about the shadow aliens completely, but I want to find out a little bit more about what's happening with you.
Well, I've just been talking to people here and there about the incidences that were going on in Dundee, Wisconsin. I'm not so much of the technical investigator that a lot of people are. go out there, measure things, you know, get what everybody's word is on the sightings and such. But there is a site here and a couple of good folks that I know that take care of the UFO sightings here in Wisconsin, which is at UFOWisconsin.com, John and Jenny Hoppe. They do a really great job at keeping everything up to date.
Yeah, we had John on the air here not too long ago.
Oh, yeah, he's a cool guy. But, yeah, so the main thing that I do, I get a lot of emails from people asking for advice concerning shadow people, whether or not their alien contact is considered positive or negative. So I take a lot of time to get back to folks, and I just recently decided to make the that kind of email a kind of a new website attachment to my UFO to You site called alienadvice.ufotu.com.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because I figured, you know, if I could help out a couple of folks here and there, why not try to help out even more?
The Ann Landers of the UFO set.
There you go. Yeah, so
I'm impressed.
I call it kind of a alien advice on Heidi Hollers instead of Hollis. So just to talk about this stuff, you know, as it is. And I don't know, if I can help out a couple of people to weed out this stuff, I think it's
well, so you actually have that many people that say they that you're not the only one that's seen these shadow aliens.
Oh, right. I have a lot of people. And not just the shadow aliens, because they're connected with the grays and whatnot, too. So it's so widespread. I just put it all under one scope and go at it. So when people ask me, you know, well, what do you think? You know, this happened, this, and that. And I just take it all as one. I mean, whether they saw a shadow or a gray or even the reptilian. So if it feels nasty, if it feels like a rotten alien in front of you, then I just lump them all into one category.
Yeah, you're not sure there's any friendly ones?
Oh, there's tons of friendly ones.
Okay, good. But there must be some friendly ones out there.
Oh, gosh, yeah. In fact, you know, I got so tired of hearing about, you know, the grays did this, they did that, and how horrible it was, that it doesn't give a full picture of actually what's going on as a whole with the alien phenomena, because just as often as I hear these negative contacts, I also hear just as many positive contacts, but that doesn't make Hollywood movies, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't hit the main airwaves, and I think that's a crying shame.
Well, Heidi, you're pretty enough to be in one of those Hollywood movies, I tell you. Our time is up. I got to move on here. Thanks for calling in from Milwaukee, and we will be back here in Laughlin in a moment with more of the UFO Files. And Heidi, I promise you, soon we'll do a show together for a whole hour, all right? Don't go away, folks. You're listening to the UFO Files.
It's a big, bold story set in the heartland of America, along the edge of Lonely Mountain.
I am open for business.
And so Big William Gorgon, played by handsome Michael James, fiercely set down his Midwest roots.
Oh, darling, we're going to sell bathrobes and raise chickens.
Set as adoring wife, Wilhelmina, portrayed by beautiful Glenda Olson.
Oh, I love our store, Will.
But they hadn't counted on Big Ralph's bathrobes and cattle store coming to town.
Oh, Will, Will, what will we do, Will?
Will had a plan, a way of facing off against tough Big Ralph.
We're going to change the face of America. We're going to advertise.
Adver what?
With print and broadcasting and bus benches. We're going to tell people who we are and where we are.
What's a bus?
And so the story of how one man brought advertising to the heartland.
Oh, will it work?
It will. My name ain't Will, Wilhelmina. We've got to advertise or we'll die.
And so the greatest marketing story of all time is here. Advertise or Die, Dopey. Brought to you by Adweek Magazine, the Radio Advertising Bureau, this radio station on the famous Radio Ranch.
When it comes to reading books, I've got a really good deal for you. I've got a great book you can read, and we're offering it to you at a big, big discount here on the Jerry Pippin Show. You know, I personally know Rod Davis, the author, and we've talked to him many, many times, and it's kind of interesting that he always seems to run across some new phenomenon in the paranormal world or the UFO world. Now, his first book is a book of a series of three. It's called River of Fear, and he blends all of these true life experiences into a tale that really, really will get your attention. I can tell you this for sure, that you will not put this book down. It's called River of Fear. Now you go over to our website, jerrypippin.com, and click on the Rod Davis section, and you'll see an offer there that you can't refuse. It's a $19.95 value for only $14.95 right now, if you order now. River of Fear, I recommend it highly. It's a book that you cannot put down. It's a narrative set in Maine that is chilling, even though it does take place in the winter. The story itself is chilling. River of Fear, go to our website. Take a look at Rod Davis's picture, click it on there at the UFO section, and you'll find out how to get this book for only $14.95. From Laughlin, Nevada, you're listening to the UFO Show, and I'm Jerry Pippin, and Kyle Dayton is here. And Kyle, you were telling me you actually had a UFO sighting. Where was that?
When I lived outside of Elk Grove Village, Illinois, and I was on my way to the local Woodfield Mall in Schaumburg. And I was a cigarette smoker at the time, so I pulled over.
In the Chicago area?
Yes, in the Chicago area, yes. And so I pulled over the road to try to find my pack of cigarettes. I was a cigarette smoker at the time. And I pulled over on a side road, and then it was as if I forgot what I was doing, I forgot what I was looking for, and I forgot where I was going, but I knew I was going somewhere. And I got back on the main road and headed toward the mall, and I remembered, oh, I think I was going to the Woodfield Mall. And I remembered that my watch, it was like, I thought, why is the time different? I must have looked for my cigarettes for a really long time and couldn't find them. This was the only thing I could think of. So that's, as far as missing time goes, that's the only thing I remember.
Well, it sounds like that's enough.
Well, at least they had the decency to get me off the highway and put me on the side of the road before, you know.
So have you had these dreams lately, or this has been back sometime?
Well, the succession of dreams were back some time ago, but I did have a dream recently where when I get certain dreams that are vivid and they give me a lot of details, so they might mean something else. Like one of the most vivid dreams that I had recently were about two giant planes. They were huge. And in the dream, they were kept calling them Morocco planes, Morocco planes. I thought it was like the country Morocco. And I had the dream when I was living in Phoenix in my parents' home, and these giant Morocco planes with very short wings in the front were flying from west to east toward us. And it wasn't until maybe several months later, and this was in the year 2000, or 1999 to 2000, I can't remember, that I found out that west of my parents' home was a place called Murak Air Force Base, which is now Murak Edwards Air Force Base. And I wonder if there was any kind of experimentation going on where they were doing something that they called Morocco planes, because the dream would not have had any significance to me had I not had the name repeated over and over.
The time frame is right for the big flap they had in Phoenix, a lot of UFO sightings in 98.
Yes, and also, too, I had found out, too, well, I think in the year 2001, Boeing Corporation had come out with a drawing, unveiled a drawing of their prototype of what they were going to call their sonic cruiser. And it was very large, very huge. It was supposed to go much faster than a regular airplane. And the thing I noticed about it was its wings were very, very short and in the front of the plane, like what I had seen in my dreams.
We've had sightings of craft like that, by the way. People saying they've seen these craft with those short wings right up front.
Well, that's interesting. Well, after I found out there was a Murak Air Force Base, it's now Murak Edwards, Air Force Base, I looked up the Edwards AFB website, and according to their website, the Edwards Test Flight Center is, quote, the home to more milestones in flight than any other place on Earth. So I really wonder if there was some kind of experimentation going on there or at the old Murak base.
Well, and Edwards has certainly had its share of experimental aircraft, and we have on our website and on our radio program an actual recording from Edwards Air Force Base in 1966 at the control tower with fighter pilots tracking UFOs, and pretty incredible. They're right on them, and all of a sudden they're gone.
Well, surprise, surprise. Well, also, too, the fact that these planes, the Morocco planes, flew in from west to east, exactly where Edwards Air Force Base would be, kind of made me wonder, too. I wonder if it was like a coincident kind of thing, and maybe they are doing some secret experimenting there. I had a friend who wanted to get an email address through Canada.com, so they picked the name Morocco Plane at Canada.com, and the name was taken. They had to spell the word Morocco Plane 10 or 12 different ways before they finally got the email address. So I wonder if someone had, Morocco plane. They had to spell it M-U-U-R-O-C-C-O plane. And that's the only way that they could spell it and get a email address.
You talked about the sightings and perhaps an abduction. Then you have what I find is very, very familiar. You have an outlook on life. It's very idealistic. In other words, I mean, you really have almost a spirituality about it.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I'm aware enough to know how much I don't know. And I found out through personal experience that, well, in my opinion, there is an equality to body, mind, and soul. And there is a substance and a reality that the thoughts, basically thoughts are things. They're as real as this table and basically anything you see around you, but they're in a different kind of material form. And this is what I have come to believe through personal experience. And you can attract things or repel things depending on your attitude and your thoughts, like, magnetism and charisma and certain things like that. There really is an equality to it. And I think that the big problem in this country and this world is we're too involved in the material world, and we forget that there is an equality to the spiritual and, body, mind, and spirit. There is a triad there, an equality. And also, too, I guess a spiritual quest is to trying to be a better person. I'm not a Pollyanna about it because I've seen a rougher side of life, and I choose to be positive. It's a choice. Some people think that you're being naive and this and that, but no, it is a choice. There's a difference between being nice and being a pushover. I've learned that. I'm,
Well, it's kind of, I guess what I'm really getting at here, Kyle, is you seem to be pretty much aware of the geopolitical situation. You seem to be pretty much aware of human nature for being what it is, yet you think there's hope, and you really are kind of pushing a, for lack of a better term, a new age behavior, I guess.
Well, I don't know if it's so much new age, but I think it's a very old thing that we've forgotten. It's life, I believe that life is first of thought, born of love, like quoted from the book by Theodore Lawrence. It's called the power of believing, the magic power of believing. And I was meditating on that phrase one night, and on the prayer, I guess it was, and I was thinking to myself, life is first of thought, born of love, but I didn't know what it meant. So the next night, I was just thinking in my head, well, what would it be like to find a partner, a permanent partner, like your soulmate? And then I started, my imagination started going and everything, and then I could feel love and just joy and everything. And then after a while, I forgot I was female, and in my mind, I was thinking concepts. I was thinking world, and I saw a world appear. And then I would think the concept of a bird and a tree, and I saw in my mind's eye the tree was just appearing, and then out of its roots that developed, there was a bird, and so on and so on. And then all of a sudden I thought to myself, yeah, first of thought, born of love. And then I came out of this mind trip that I was on, and I went, where the heck was I? You know, mentally, where did I go? Where was I shown? Well, what was I shown? And so, gosh, you see, that's why I think that there is substance to body, mind, and spirit. Anyone who does successful prayer, or even on the other extreme, when people do what they call the craft, or practicing any kind of meditation or any whatever like that, they tap into the same thing. There is a reality to it, and when people miss that, they really miss out on something.
Well, from my conversation before we started the program here, I get the impression you've been going to these conferences for a while.
Oh, about the past 4 years.
And what is it you're actually looking for? You find it entertaining, or are you looking for a message? Or?
Well, actually, what I would like to do is get involved with research, possibly full-time, because I think in some ways it's not much of a claim to fame, but I have what my gift is, as I'm able to find certain bits and pieces of information, like little missing pieces of the puzzle, and then I can put it together, and then I try to get the information to the right people that can use it and try to help them in their research. So ultimately, I guess I would like to be totally involved in this type of research, anomalous situations and things like that. So maybe that's what keeps drawing me here like a magnet.
Thanks very much. Speaking of that Edward Chipworth tape, we have time to play that. Listen to this. This is an incredible, incredible recording made in 1966 at Edwards Air Force Base.
Completely recorded on October 7th, 1965. Strange lights were reported near Edwards Air Force Base in California. Soon, Air Force personnel in three different control towers had the objects in sight, visually and on radar. Remember that these are not casual observers. They are highly trained, experienced men, familiar with the skies and virtually everything in them. We begin with a segment from a call to the base commanding officer, explaining the situation.
We have about four objects have been in the system for over an hour in the vicinity of towards Victorville. Actually, they're pretty close to over San Francisco. Everybody around has had radar and visual ops on them, and they're flashing lights, etc. Running in the vicinity of old Fort to 12,000 feet for these observations.
The scene now shifts to the desert as the air controllers try to track and identify the strange objects.
Your first one was 135. Your second one should have been about a 145.
I have one in that area.
You have one in that area?
All three of them in a row.
Hey!
About 145. Okay, a bunch of birds spanning these three also.
Right. If you have 0.090, we do not have that one, but we do have the other two.
On the tower? Yes, it's 15. I mean, that one. If you look to the north of it, it's coming pretty fast.
I got a piece of that up there.
Personnel on the planet were debriefed without result. So far as we know, the strange lights have never been explained.
If you're looking for adventure, information, and entertainment on the internet, one stop fits all at jerrypippin.com.
Oh, Jane, you remember the Italian place?
Where we had that homemade ravioli.
Oh, that was so good. And the salad with the prosciutto.
And that pesto dressing was out of
garlic,
this world.
Croutons. Oh, yeah, so good.
Oh. Let's eat there.
Where was that?
I don't remember.
What was it called?
Oh, it was so good, too. What was it called?
What was it?
Ooh, look at this. Homemade biscotti.
Let me see the ad.
Ooh, and fresh pasta.
Hey, let's go there instead.
Out of sight, out of mind. Don't let the world forget about you. Advertise. A message from the Radio Advertising Bureau, Adweek Magazine, this radio station, and the famous radio ranch.
We've had an interesting show today, haven't we? From Laughlin, Nevada, this is Jerry Pippin. Thanking you for listening. We're going to close out here with an actual recording of the two-way radio that the guards use up at Area 51, just north of us. And before I do that, I'd like to thank our producer today, Sue Hansen, helping us out, and Nancy McKinney as well. So until next time, cheers.
4th Control Base, Status. 30 MC2, Papa. Is that both units, Papa?
I've got you.
base, copy. Full base status.
0024 Romeo. 32 Tango.
Base, copy. Base status. Copy 32, third Sagan. Try a different location. Base, copy Sagan. Base, staff.
0-12-4-5. 32, Papa.
Base, copy. Swarm in control base, investigate Sierra, India 0. Sierra, India 0.
32, copy. 30, copy.
Swarm in control base, the indication was a double.
32, copy. 30, copy. Base 30 and 32 off pavement. Base 32. There is no dust going, there is no vehicles or anything else.
Copy, advisor, coastal. Morgan control base, investigate Sierra India 0.
Base 32, that might be us.
Copy, thought says you're clear of the area.
Oh, we're still on the dirt road, but we're the only ones out here.
Copy, thank you.
Base 30 and 32, that's on black box.
Base, copy. Scoring in control base, Adam.
Sophia, 80 and 204,